We're going to hear our reading from Mark's Gospel.
This is taken from Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you in Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid.
I was reading a book once, and it was a murder mystery, and I got to the last chapter where there is the traditional revealment of everything, and I discovered there'd been a printing error and the final chapter was missing. There were just blank pages. It's very frustrating. Some things just need a conclusion. And the story of Jesus needs a conclusion. Yet seemingly in Mark's gospel, we don't get a satisfactory one. Where is Jesus? In our Bibles, there are some additional verses to be found after the ones we heard from Mark's gospel that Sarah Jane read to us. But they're widely recognized as being far later additions to what Mark has written. And they're certainly not written by Mark. They were added on by someone who was likely uncomfortable with this lack of a definitive conclusion in the earliest manuscripts of the gospel. And it could be that Mark had written something further and it's got lost. But I also quite like the idea, despite my completer finisher tendencies, that this gospel ends abruptly. That we're left with questions. A strange puzzle as to what happened. What might it mean? These three women come to do their duty on the morning after the Sabbath, after the crucifixion. Individually, at different points, they've witnessed Jesus' death on the cross and Jesus' burial in the tomb. And now they come to carry out the reverent task of anointing his body with spices, with myrrh and aloe. Not to prevent decay, but to perfume a decaying corpse. These three women, Mary, Mary and Salome, come to the tomb just after sunrise. And as they walk, they ask themselves, not will the body be there? Because, of course, they believe it will be there. Two of them have seen the body placed in the tomb on the Friday. They've got no doubts in their mind at this moment what they would find. No, their worry is who's going to roll away the huge stone which covered the tomb's entrance. But when they arrive, they're confronted with surprise number one. The stone is not in front of the tomb entrance. It's already been rolled away. They enter the tomb and are confronted by surprise number two. On the right-hand side of the tomb is sitting a young man dressed in a white robe. And the phrase "young man" has been already used in the Bible to describe angels. And the reaction of the women to this presence is a classic "I've met an angel" kind of reaction. They're said to be alarmed, which the word in Greek means a mixture of fear, wonder, astonishment, distress. This is not the reaction you have when you meet another human being. The words the angel speaks first address them in their fear. "Do not be afraid." And his second words address them in their confusion and bring the third surprise. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. he is not here. Words that turn their fear and confusion into the possibility of hope and faith. The angel's words reorder their understanding of what is possible. Even though Jesus has explicitly told them to expect his resurrection, since nothing like this has ever happened before, their minds had never been able to process his words in a coherent manner. Yet here the words of the angel are offered, and there is a creation-changing new reality before them in Jesus' resurrection. The minds of the women are still trying to catch up with this new reality, that the end of the story has not happened, that there is a new chapter being written in the story of Jesus, that the one they saw crucified and consumed by death has instead become the risen one who has been consumed by life. And to help reorder their minds, the angel invites the women to look at the place where two of them saw Jesus laid in the tomb. And that place is now empty. The angel then shares his last words with the women. Tell his disciples and Peter he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. These words are an invitation to those who've run away and hidden, an invitation to Peter who's denied Jesus, an invitation to forgiveness. But they're also an encouragement that their last acts and words aren't the end of their discipleship. For their last acts and words will always belong to Jesus. And Mark's gospel, as we have it, ends simply with him writing, "Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. And they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid." These women leave in their fear, wonder, and astonishment and distress, in shock, unable to say anything. This has become the symbol of Easter for most people. When I went into the supermarket this week, it seemed everyone had at least one of these in their basket or trolley. A hollow chocolate egg. There is the talk of the symbolism of the egg representing new life and us remembering the resurrection of Jesus through that. And there could be something to be said for that. But most people who have one of these today don't think a lot about Jesus, to be honest. All they're thinking about is eating chocolate. But this chocolate egg does have something in common with the Easter story as we have it from Mark's gospel. It's empty. There's nothing in it, like the tomb. Jesus isn't in a chocolate egg. Jesus wasn't in the tomb. Jesus was loose in the world. I like the mysterious ending to Mark's gospel because it leaves Jesus out there, not constrained, free. He is risen. He is not there. Jesus wasn't caught up in the religion of the day, imprisoned in the walls of the temple. The temple curtain tore in two at the time of his sacrifice on the cross, signifying all that separated sinful humanity from the holiness of God was done away with because of Jesus' death. And Jesus today is not contained within the church. Jesus isn't constrained within the pages of the Bible. He's not held captive by religious doctrine or dogma. Jesus is free. God is loose in Christ. He has risen. He is not here. We can try all we like to tie Jesus down and imprison him, but there is no box big enough to keep Jesus in. He will burst his way out of every human construct and roam free across his creation. The empty tomb and Jesus being risen from the grave shows us that Jesus is free. Death could not hold him. The weight of the world's sin could not keep him captive. The political powers of the day could not do away with him. Satan was not strong enough to defeat him. Jesus was and never has been held captive. Jesus is loose in the world. He is risen. He is not here. And Jesus is loose in the world for people to encounter. People encounter its Lord in the whisper of creation. People encounter the one who is incarnate love in the kindness of a stranger. People encounter the Word made flesh in the Word of Scripture. People encounter Christ the Lord as the Spirit of God touches their hearts, minds, and souls. Jesus is loose in the world, meeting with people and working in their lives. Jesus isn't only present when we, who are the church, meet in some sort of organized gathering and meeting, yet he is also present when we do meet as his body in whatever way. Jesus in Matthew's gospel, speaking to his disciples after his resurrection in Galilee, as he promised in our reading, says this, "I am with you always." No location specified. No special rite to be formed for him to turn up. He will just be with you. Jesus is loose in the world. He has risen. What we need to do is surrender to what Jesus is already doing and join in, rather than believe it's Jesus' job to join in with what we are doing. We need to catch up with him in Galilee, wherever Galilee might be for us. What we need to do is witness to Jesus' presence already in people's lives. Witness to the way that Jesus is already working in people. Witness and make known that is Jesus meeting with them. We who are already Jesus' followers today are to witness what Jesus is already doing. In the fear, wonder, and distress that an encounter with the risen Jesus can produce in someone who doesn't yet know him, we who do know the risen Jesus can witness that the fear, wonder, and distress can lead to the possibility of faith, hope, and love. We need to journey from the empty tomb and go and find where Jesus is already loose within the world and at work. Go and find him and join in with what he's doing. Witness to the risen Jesus who is loose and free. He is risen. He is not here. Hallelujah. Amen.